When I lived in Kansas City, one Sunday morning, between the Bible class, at the Bible class time, it began to snow pretty hard, and there were huge flakes, and they were beginning to fill the parking lot. And I asked one of the elders, as we were about to start the worship service, should we shorten the service? He said, well, that's kind of up to you. You're the preacher. So when I took that to heart, and we kind of shortened it a little bit to accommodate the circumstances, so I'm going to do the same thing this morning. So there are miracles that still exist. I'm going to have a shorter lesson than I typically would. I'll reserve this lesson later on, too. I'll probably review it at a later date, kind of look at it additionally. But for our purposes this morning, we're going to just kind of highlight it. Think about it together. First, turn with me to 1 John, the second chapter. We're going to read verses 12 through 14. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Now, just looking at these three verses, I want to notice some things as it relates to the idea of spiritual stages and progress in those spiritual stages. The categories that he sets forth, he identifies as little children. The idea of little children and thinking about the little children, we find in verse 12, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. He also makes a reference in the latter part of the 13th verse, I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. So when we think about these little children, who does he have reference to? Well, I'm persuaded he's talking about babes in Christ. Now, you look at John's writings. There are other instances where he writes to little children, such as earlier in that same chapter, in verse 1, he uses the expression little children. Now, in verse 28, again, little children. Verses 3, chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, describes little children and gives us a sense of some aspects associated with the little children that's under consideration. That's being referred to in verse 18. Others also, but those suffice to give us a sense of the idea. In this case, he uses that as a term of endearment for all Christians. He's not specifying a particular category of Christian, but all Christians are referred to by John in these instances as little children. It's very heartfelt, a regard for them. John, being an aged individual, writing these things, is expressing what has reference to the idea of babes in Christ, or the idea of, rather in this case, the idea of all Christians and the endearment that he has toward them. In this context, he's applied it to new converts. He's describing it in a way to express the concept that here are babes in Christ. Here's a stage of that we have as it relates to a Christian. They are newborn babes in Christ. They're little children in the sense or respect. Just a couple of passages that I think will help us examine this and think about it. The first one, we would turn over to Colossians. And the first chapter, and notice with me verses 13 and 14. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of His Son, of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Here, he's describing the idea of this relationship. It's through Christ's blood that we have the forgiveness of sins. Now, our sins are forgiven, as we find in Acts 2, 37 through 38, they want to know what they need to do. They were instructed to be baptized. Upon repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. In 22nd chapter, verse 16, Paul, recounting his own conversion, as Saul, the persecutor of the church, said that Ananias, the preacher, told him, why are you waiting? Arise, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Here's some references that describe or talk about this new relationship that we have. And it's accomplished through being baptized for the remission of our sins. Now, in 1 John, the first chapter, and notice with me also there, as we consider John in the earlier part of the same book, in verse 3 of that first chapter, that which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So here's fellowship, joint participation that we have here. And so he's saying, we've seen, declared to you, and you also may have fellowship with us. And also then talking about that nature of that, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son. Now drop down to verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. So here's that relationship that's described being a babe in Christ. It's the beginning point. It's the infancy that one has now as one becomes a child of God, having their sins forgiven by the remission that the Lord has provided through obedience to his instructions and commands, and one is baptized in Christ, raised to walk in that newness of life. Now, the little children there, we go to the next stage that's described here by John in this account. He talks about young men. In the second chapter there, verses 13, in the middle part of that, I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. He then describes there in the 14th verse and also the middle part of that, I've written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. And he goes on and repeats what he's already stated there in the 13th verse, that you've overcome the wicked one. So here's the young men. Now, who does he have reference to there? And you think about these various stages of progression, development in Christ. Well, here he's talking about growing in Christ. Here's the disposition that's being noted there. Little children, you're a babe in Christ, but now there's going to have to be growth. One doesn't remain in that condition. Sad to say, there are some who never grow spiritually. They become a Christian, they've been baptized in Christ, and that's the extent of it. They've done what they need to do to be in Christ, and now they're there, they're present, they're around, but they never mature, they never grow, they never develop further. When you look at 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, I think this is a good illustration of a concern that is noted by the Apostle Paul regarding this predicament. He says in verse 1, or writes in verse 1, I, brethren, would not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. Now, let me say that there's not anything wrong with being a babe in Christ. That's the beginning point. Just as we think about the physical realm, there's a child that is born, it's a babe. You're not expecting a great deal of this child. This child has to develop. There has to be the process by which the child will go through in order to get to a certain point. But we would be concerned if there is no development physically in this child. We should have the same concern as it relates to the spiritual realm. One becomes a babe in Christ. They've been obedient to the gospel. They're now a child of God. We recognize this particular stage in which they're in. The expectation is not going to be great for this one. There's going to have to be a developing aspect. But if they do not develop and there's no effort to develop, then that's a great concern. So Paul writes to these brethren in Corinth and he says, you know, I can't even talk to you as I should because you have not developed beyond this idea as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Consider that what Paul is writing to them. He's rebuking them sharply when they should have developed further along. They're babes, and because of their carnality, because of the way that they behave, their conduct is not what it ought to be. They are not growing and maturing. In 1 Peter, the second chapter, and we're familiar here with the verses that talk about the idea of, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. That's verse 2. But what I want to do is back up to verse 1, because notice what Paul wrote to the Corinthian brethren about their lack of development. And now he's describing, okay, babes need the milk of the word. He says, I couldn't feed you with that which was more substantive. I had to feed you with milk. And so here Peter's writing similarly. He says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. So he's saying, you set that aside. As newborn babes. That's the transition there. As you brought babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And for us to get away from the worldliness and to put that off, to lay aside these things, requires us to develop spiritually. We have to grow. That growth is needful. It's imperative. I'm not going to become what I should if I'm not growing. And the milk of the word is where one starts. Just as a child comes to this world, they feed upon milk. Eventually, they're going to, as they grow, begin to partake of solid foods. And those solid foods are going to be needful for them to continue to develop. When we consider this additionally, need to overcome Satan. And the only way to do that is to grow spiritually. He's talking about what needs to be put off, the understanding, what's being taught from God's word. Here we are developing along. He says, you know, you overcome Satan. How are we going to overcome Satan? We're going to have to grow. If you look at the fifth chapter there of 1 Peter, and dropping down to verses 8 and 9, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Here's Satan described. He's this roaring lion seeking to pounce upon us, to devour us, to consume us. And so we need to be aware of this. And in so doing, in Ephesians 6, here's that the idea of that growth that's needful to be aware of Satan, the devices of Satan. We're not ignorant of those devices. Satan is about the pursuit of us continuously. He desires to cause us to fall, to sin, to be separated from God. And so we're told to put on the whole armor of God, to resist the wiles of the devil, to be able to battle against him, to combat him. And that's something that is required in order to be able to resist Satan, is to grow spiritually. If I stay a babe in Christ, if I don't mature, if I don't continue to develop, then I'm susceptible to and inevitably will fall to Satan. I think that's the point that's made. The inevitable consequences is that that's going to be the case when we do not grow. It says, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord. That development that's observed there, putting on the whole armor of God. Then if you look at 1 Corinthians 10:13, of course, that's where we're reassured, where we're told that there's no temptation that comes upon us that is not common to men, that with the way is given an escape that the Lord has prepared, made available to us. So we can be reassured that we don't have to succumb to Satan. But there is a process, which we've already been looking at and thinking about, and what's needful in order to overcome Satan, to resist Satan, the wiles of the devil. And that is, he's given us this equipment. He's given us these provisions. But how do I receive that? By growing. By developing. By a knowledge of God's Word. The milk of the Word, that then I begin to take on that which is more solid food. As you look at Matthew, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 11. This, of course, you're familiar with. We'll just kind of describe it. You can go back and read it more extensively. But just kind of looking at this, what do you find taking place? Jesus is gone up in the mountain. He's been alone there and fasting and prayer 40 days. Satan comes to him. And Satan, we have these three temptations that are described here. And Satan, in tempting Jesus in these ways and means and methods, what do we see Jesus doing? How did he resist Satan, that Satan fled from him? Well, he quoted Scripture. He was prepared, he was knowledgeable, he was able to resist because he was able to take the Scriptures and use them correctly and rightly. Now, we would expect that of the Lord, but he gives us the means then to see what these verses describe, how we're able to overcome because we've grown in a knowledge of the Word of God. So Satan, through these preparations and means and methods that have been provided for us, we are able to resist. But I can't do that as a babe in Christ, that we're going to have trials and difficulties. And if I remain in that state, then I'm going to eventually overcome. It's inevitable. It's going to occur as a result of my lack of preparing and development. Let me notice something else here then. We have this third category, fathers. Now, who are these fathers that he has reference to? He's kind of talked about these ones, these little children. He's talked about young men. And incidentally, it's not intended to be a gender arrangement of talking about men. It's talking about a class or category of Christians and the development of it, the various stages that we see. And so he has these three that he describes. And so we fall into one of those three in a general categories that are noted. That even Christ has come to Christ acknowledging their sins in their life, and they've obeyed the gospel plan of salvation. We come along, you can't stay in that stage. Now we have to develop. Now as a young person who's now energetic and vigorous and knowledgeable, begin to learn the Word, and you're very active in the pursuit of what is right, serving the Lord faithfully. Now we come along to these fathers. Who are these fathers that we have as this third stage that's described? Well, first of all, in verse 13, the first part of it, I write to you fathers because you've known him who is from the beginning. He kind of repeats that. Interestingly, he says, I write. Then he says, I've written to you. So it's a reinforcing of principles and ideas that have previously been given. They're not unknowledgeable of it, but it's reinforced. And the phraseology that's used is just to help convey these things. He repeats to these various categories, the young man and also that which has reference to little children. He repeats these things. I've written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. So he just repeats this as it relates to the fathers. Who are these fathers? what kind of stage or category? I think we probably can infer. I think it's fairly self-evident that as you're going through the stages, and you start with that of little children, you go to young men, and now you have fathers, that those that are under consideration are those that are mature in Christ. The maturity that is seen and observable. When you consider this, it refers to those who are spiritually full grown. Now, in Hebrews 5, 12 through 14, we already looked at this idea of the milk of the word. We've seen references that's already alluded to the concept of that which is the more substantive elements of taking on solid foods. Here in Hebrews, the fifth chapter, it combines these together and actually gives us a sense of this idea, I'm persuaded, of the nature of this category with the fathers and what the fathers are able to do because of where they are spiritually in their development. Just to pick up the reading there in verse 12, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, and that is who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." There's nothing wrong with being a babe in Christ. In fact, that's absolutely essential. But we can't remain there. And even developing along, one is a young man, and this is that category in which that development is observable, begin to see it. There's a vigorousness about their behavior and their conduct, and their knowledge is increasing and developing. But that's not the final objective. To be fully grown spiritually is what's considered under these verses. And what's stated there is, the writer of Hebrews, probably the Apostle Paul, rebuked them sharply because when they should be teachers, they had need to be taught. What happened? They hadn't developed. They hadn't grown. They still needed the milk of the word and not the meat of it. They had not been pursuing that so that they could have full understanding. And what's the result of that? Well, they can't teach because they're not able to. They're still needing to be taught. The solid food they haven't been able to consume. So when it comes down to it, they're not skillful. The lack of knowledge precludes them from being able to use that which they've been given, the instruction in God's Word, correctly and rightly. What is solid food? What are these individuals who are mature in Christ, the maturity that's described? Well, they're full of age. And that is by reason of use, the senses exercised to both discern good and evil. They have a knowledge of God's Word. They apply God's Word. They're able to differentiate. They're able to get fuller understanding. They have a comprehension because they have grown in Christ. They didn't stop at some point. They continued along until they got to this point where they could be referred to as, John refers to them as fathers, or as the Scriptures describe as those full grown in Christ, fully mature. And why is that important? Well, so I can discern good and evil, so I can apply the Scriptures correctly. But beyond that, there's more to it than just that. So I can be a teacher, which is already alluded to here, referenced. I can be a leader. Where is the church if you don't have people that develop in Christ and get to the point of that maturity that's described here in Hebrews 5, where they're still needing to be taught the very rudiments of the Scriptures, the teaching and instructions of the Word of God, and they're not able to develop it and teach it and instruct it? Where are the teachers going to come from? Where are the leaders going to come from? There's a dearth of leadership in the Lord's church, and why is that the case? This really kind of gets down to the aspect of this. You can take these other parts of it, but really the focus is to get to this point, to look at why is there a lack of people prepared to step forward and take care of various responsibilities? Because they haven't matured. They're not fathers in that spiritual sense of having that maturity in Christ that's to be evident. A goodly number of these things that are struggles that we see around about us is a lack of personal development in people's lives. So the church comes together and is filled with those that would be more categorized as little children or young men. And it doesn't matter how much gray hair one has, how old they look from a standpoint of the wrinkles and things. That's not the point here. It has nothing to do with physical age necessarily. There's that element of it that we recognize comes as a result of just as one gets older and the experience they have, as long as that experience is predicated upon God's Word. So there's that facet of it, but that's not really the key element here that we're looking at. It's a knowledge of God's word and understanding so that they can apply it correctly, discern between good and evil, so that they can teach others effectively and they themselves can be leaders in the body of Christ. That's just not happening like it should. And that first has to be focused upon myself. Where am I at? What am I doing? What point in my stage of development am I at? Now, there's appropriateness for the child, a babe in Christ, to be the babe in Christ as they're growing, but don't be content with that. Start working our way through the process. It's good to be young men in that category of the vigorous youthfulness that's associated with this idea of having more understanding, but we should never stop and say, you know, I'm kind of content with this particular point in my spiritual development. In 1 Corinthians 4, 14 through 15, just again, a few of these verses to kind of highlight, take note of. We're going to reference some of the latter part of this so that we can just kind of take the observation as it relates to this idea of the leadership part in particular. But there's a referencing in 1 Corinthians 4 about this idea of fathers that I think is helpful to kind of consider again what John is referring to. Paul's the writer here, but it's still the mind of God. The Holy Spirit is the ultimate author of all of these. He just has different scribes. Whether it's Paul or John, whichever writer that is, it's still the Holy Spirit's mind, revealing God's mind, the Holy Spirit doing that, that gives us these insights. So in verses 14 and 15, I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. The referencing there is that idea of instruction, the teaching, that part of it there, being teachers. Just like you should be teachers, but you have need to be taught. You should have developed to that point. Now you don't even understand the rudiments of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What's the problem here? That's reprehensible that this is the case. So now Paul writes, well, here, you have many that in Christ, but not many fathers. Those that are the teachers, those that are instructors, those that have this maturity, those that guide and direct you. And he taught them the gospel, and that's the point that's noted here and observable. And turning over to Philippians in the third chapter, where we, in the auditorium class, have been studying the letter that Paul wrote to the Philippian brethren. Just again, sort of highlight these points. You start with verse 12 and following, where he talks about that I've not already obtained or I'm already perfected, but as I press on, there's still a development. It's a continuation, an ongoing thing. I've always got my eye on the goal, and I'm always improving. I'm always getting stronger in the knowledge of God's word. I can always apply more because my learning is continuing. I never become satisfied because I have this goal. So here, Paul is writing this thing. Brother, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting these things that are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I want us to appreciate the imagery that's described here. I've got this goal. I've got this direction I'm headed. Everything I'm doing is with that ultimate intended purpose in mind to make heaven my eternal abode. And so therefore, I'm forwardly moving and advancing. I'm ever going to grow more so that I can be of greater use in the kingdom of our Lord. So that I never get to a point where I'm satisfied, and thus, as a result of malnutrition, I'm not what I should be, and I can't be that as it relates to those round about me. I'm disapproved of by God anyway, but I certainly can't be what I ought to be as it relates to my service to Him and my way I deal with those round about me. So he continues on, I press toward that goal for the prize of the upward call of God, Jesus Christ. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Is any mature? He continues on with this idea of the example, he says. He talks about walking correctly. So he establishes these ideas. But here's the objective. Is any mature? You'll understand this is correct. You'll understand the need for this if you're mature. Because you developed to that point with the knowledge of God's word and understanding and appreciation of his will in your life. In 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 4, Peter writes about being an elder and being an example to the flock. He describes this aspect of the maturity that's needed to be able to serve in this capacity. To understand it, not to lord it over the flock, you know, being demanding and dictatorial, that's not the point. You're the example. Here's the Word of God. I'm directing you to the Word of God. I'm going to be this leader because I have a knowledge. I can discern between good and evil. I have a full understanding or a developing completeness as it relates to these teachings and instructions. I'm not still in the milk of the Word. I can chew on the meat of it. I can take it and use it correctly and rightly. Those are what the leaders have to be able to accomplish if they're going to be serving the Lord faithfully. In 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 13, you got these qualifications, as Paul writes to Timothy, of elders and deacons. In both cases, there's a spiritual qualifications that show and demonstrate development. And you see these physical referencing that has to do then with the idea to be able to evaluate their managerial abilities. So that the elders are, as in Titus, comparing Titus's list that Paul wrote to Titus and that with Timothy to help us understand. He talks about having faithful children. So the elders are going to have these children that are faithful, that's observable in their life. You're going to have with the deacons, they're going to have the qualification associated with the family structure and church to demonstrate their managerial abilities. But you see, the focus, while that's absolutely essential, also needs to be understood as it relates to the spiritual. What do you have? You have those individuals that are maturing. They are able to demonstrate in their life that they have this understanding and they can apply it correctly and rightly. And the biggest reason why we have this lack of elders, deacons, and the correct structure in the church is, well, I realize there's a lot of worldly elements to this thing and a lot of challenges associated with it. I'm persuaded the biggest reason we have a problem with this area is a lack of development within the body of Christ to grow to the maturity, to be what we ought to be in the Lord. We have too many babes who have been Christians for years and years and years because they've never went about getting beyond the milk of the Word. We have too many young men, that category that shows some development, but then it ceases and they're content with where they're at in life and they never look beyond what they need to be doing in order to serve the Lord in their life faithfully by maturing to this point so that they can lead as they should, be the example they ought to be, discern between good and evil. I'm persuaded that's the underlying problem. And it has to do with us individually doing it and being encouraged to develop ourselves as we ought and have provisions made as a congregation of the Lord's people to accomplish that end. Now, I go on with some of the specifics of that. I'll say that for another lesson. But I hope and pray we take it to heart that we look at these stages and we need to be honest with ourselves. Where am I at? And am I where I should be? And I'm content with where I'm at, or am I developing as I ought? Well, we're about to have that song of encouragement. Think about what's been said. We first have to be a babe in Christ. If you're not, then we certainly encourage you to do so. If you have that need to do it this very morning, we've got the provisions to baptize you in Christ so you can be raised to walk in this life. If there's something amiss in your life and you need to acknowledge that, we certainly also encourage you to do that. In any way that you're subject to this call, won't you please come? Together we stand and sing.